Indiana nonprofits are lobbying state legislators on two Senate bills that would impact the ability of Hoosiers to receive SNAP benefits. That's the federally funded Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps. Feeding Indiana's Hungry, the Indiana Association of United Ways, the Indiana Township Association Incorporated, and the Institute for Working Families are among a dozen organizations working toward the passage of Senate Bill 154, which would remove an asset limit on SNAP recipients, and Senate Bill 9, which would allow certain drug offenders to receive benefits. Reporter Sarah Vaughn spoke with Jessica Fraser, the director of the Indiana Institute for Working Families, about why these bills are important and their chances of getting passed.
Jessica, can you talk to me about Senate Bill 154 that addresses asset limits for SNAP recipients?
Senate Bill 154, authored by Senator Merritt, is a bill that will eliminate the asset test on the nutrition assistance program in Indiana. In Indiana, the asset test is $2,250 for like everyday working age folks. And then it is, I think, $1,000 more than that for senior citizens. And we have been concerned about the asset test at the Institute for quite some time. We've been working on this issue because we find there's a cliff in nutrition assistance where people are no longer eligible at 130% of the federal poverty guidelines, and yet they're not self-sufficient until kind of at least 200% of the federal poverty guidelines. And so this leaves them vulnerable to food insecurity or making difficult choices about, am I going to pay for food, or am I going to pay for my rent, or am I going to pay for my, you know, whatever else the other item might be.
So the most recent version of this bill moves the asset limit.
It just eliminates the test altogether. It takes the asset limit out completely. And part of the reason for that is that the test is administratively burdensome. We looked at the data that the state put out, and they had done the asset test with 600,000 unique applications in 2015, and only had 1,400 applications where people were over the asset limit. So that's 0.4%. Additionally, all the stuff that the intake workers have to know in order to be able to administer the test is like 68 pages long, the policy manual. It gets kind of complicated in some areas. Even though people don't often have these assets, they still have to know how to evaluate them. It just seems like there's not enough people who have low enough incomes to qualify for SNAP benefits and high enough assets to sort of be worth all the effort that we put into trying to test that particular piece of eligibility.
Your institute has also referred to a situation that creates churn, as you call it, where people who receive SNAP might get a temporary gift from a relative, or they might pick up a few extra shifts at work or do some extra temp work that puts them over the asset limit for a few months, and then they have to reapply. And that contributes to that administrative cost, I understand. But do you have any numbers as to how much extra that continual reapplication costs the state?
We're at $1 million in state funds just to keep a very, very small amount of people from getting federal food aid that's federal money anyway.
There's also this issue that if assets are keeping folks from receiving SNAP, that puts a burden on local food banks and nonprofit organizations. But how reliable are they in filling the gap that not getting SNAP creates?
I mean, I can't speak specifically to reliability. I'd have to pass you off to some of our food bank friends. But that is why both sort of the township folks and the Feeding Indiana's Hungry have supported this effort in the past. You can't fill all of your needs in a month from a food bank. It's not possible. And then folks will often go to township trustees to fill in the gaps, or they'll just go to, or they go hungry and they pay the heating bill instead of buying food.
Are there other states nearby that have removed that asset limit, and how are they faring?
35 states and the District of Columbia have already eliminated the SNAP asset test, and then an additional set of states have increased the asset level. The one downside to increasing the asset level is that you know, you still have the administrative burden of all the paperwork and everything. Michigan is the only one of our neighbors that has a higher per case administrative cost than we do. And they are an interesting example because they eliminated the asset test and then they put it back with a higher limit. And when they put it back with a higher limit, that's when their administrative cost per case actually went up above ours. Absolutely. So our administrative cost per case per month in 2015 was $28.92, whereas Michigan's is $29.35. And all of our other neighbors are between $16 and $23 per case. I haven't heard too much from the folks that are just sort of anti-SNAP altogether, but I have heard some concern from folks that is well-intentioned, that they are afraid that people who have a lot of assets will get the program and that sort of, in their mind, takes away from people who are more vulnerable. But I think that when you look at how much we're spending, there just aren't enough people that are low income and high asset to make it worth the cost. You know, the average issuance per individual is $119 a month. So we are putting a very expensive alarm system over what is essentially not a very big amount of food. The SNAP program, it's intended as a safety net. It's intended that when people fall on hard times, they take advantage, you know, they enroll in the program, it helps them with a short-term need, and then they sort of bounce right back to where they were. Alternatively, if we ask people to liquidate their entire lives and change their lifestyle, you've put them in a different place where now they are genuinely impoverished. And are they going to be able to bounce back from whatever hardship has befallen them that led them to be income eligible for SNAP in the first place? That's another concern we have.
Let's talk now about Senate Bill 9, which was co-authored by our Senator Mark Stoops. According to your legislative update, this bill would have Indiana opt out of the federal law that bans folks with past felony drug convictions from receiving SNAP benefits. That ban goes back to about 1996 and the federal war on drugs.
Right. Any other type of felony is eligible for SNAP upon their release from prison, but drug felons in Indiana are subject, for the most part, to a lifetime ban. And it's just kind of this weird thing where we are continuing to punish this one type of offender after they have served their time for the rest of their life, and it's food. I haven't been the one doing all sort of the big effort on this bill, but what we've brought to the table is some data around low-income folks that have returned. And on average, they earn about $10,000 a year and only work about half the year. So they are already in sort of a vulnerable position of coming home and trying to earn a living so that they can, you know, stay out of prison and have a life. And we really think that allowing them to have nutrition assistance is part of helping them return and be members of the community.
Is there any real evidence that you know of that, for example, drug offenders have a higher recidivism rate than any other offenders who would be eligible for SNAP once released?
No, we've not seen any data that this deters anybody from anything. And, you know, in fact, we think that, and again, this hasn't been studied yet either, although more and more states are eliminating their ban. So maybe we could start to do some research and comparing states that don't have the ban with states that do, but there's no evidence that suggests that keeping them away from SNAP does anything beneficial at all. I think we have a really good chance on Senate Bill 9. We've been talking to as many of the lawmakers as we can, and I am pretty confident that it has the votes to go through on Senate Bill 9. Most of the lawmakers that I have spoken with are supportive of Senate Bill 9. They see this as part of, you know, the state has gone is making a lot of effort to try to, you know, change drug policies, do some decriminalizing and providing more support for treatment. Senator Merritt will talk about his, you know, the 5-year plan to kill heroin in Indiana. They see this as part of that whole effort.
Reporting for WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn.